Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT and Leanne After Hours, the conversation that continued after the show was done.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Hey everybody, welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, this week with Meathead, my buddy Meathead from AmazingRibs.com. See, I got the .com in there.
Thank you.
Yeah, So I conjured up a couple of quick questions for you because like
another one of your damn quizzes.
Yeah, sorta. You said it yourself a couple 3 years ago on this show. You said a good interviewer will always know the answer before he asks the question, right? And that's true, for the most part. And I tried to do that, but these things I would not know. So here you go. Do you remember or have a favorite recipe or dish that as a kid growing up that you just that mom or dad fixed and you loved?
Yeah. And that's how I really came to barbecue. There were two of them. About once a month, mom and dad would take us out, my sister and me. Out to dinner, and we had a couple of favorite haunts, but my favorite was the Chinese restaurant, the Golden Dragon, and the Golden Dragon did Chinese ribs, and I fell in love with ribs, pork on a stick with it was a char siu hoisin flavored sauce with sesame seeds and maybe some chopped scallions, and I just fell in love with them, and that's what prompted my love of ribs. And I later, when I was in college, I went to the University of Florida, which is in Gainesville, not in Miami, which is Miami's a suburb of New York. Gainesville is is still part of the Deep South. Gainesville is still horse country and farm country and rural. And there I met Y.T. Parker, this marvelous old black man who had a barbecue joint, and the white kids didn't go into that neighborhood, and I went into that neighborhood because I fell in love with his ribs, and he'd let me hang out at the pit at back, and the pit was just concrete blocks, and he and two or three of his buddies, when his buddies were usually drunk, were all sitting around out there grilling or smoking ribs, and man, I just fell in love with barbecue that way. And the other thing when I was a kid is one of the other restaurants we'd go to would be a pizza joint. And I fell in love with pizza. And fortunately, I married an Italian-American who makes great pizza. And I've learned how to make pizza since. And then one more, my dad would go out back and he had, I don't think it was a Weber kettle, but it was a knockoff. And he would do flank steak and occasionally do beef ribs, but he would grill them. He wouldn't low and slow them.
Right.
And I just loved the flank steak. And, he'd let me hang out with him at the grill, you know, maybe 10 years old. And occasionally I think he'd let me have a sip of beer, and that might have cemented my relationship with grilling. And those were the flavors of my youth that really caught on. And years later, Dad was a food technology major at New York University. He learned food technology. So it runs in my blood, the science and stuff. And years later, he opened a butcher shop. And then years later, he opened a restaurant. So I've been, hanging around with food all my life.
I wonder how many golden dragons, golden pagodas, yeah, you know, the restaurants there are around the country like that.
Oh, God, that's worth Googling. Yeah, there's probably thousands of them. Yeah,
I know we've got some within a nine iron distance from here that where I live. And that's it.
I still love Chinese food. Chicago, where I live, has a major size Chinatown. And I think I've eaten in most of the restaurants, and there's some great food down there.
Little secret, it's not really a secret for anybody that knows me. As much as we do barbecue and as much as I've done, you know, the cowboy cook and all the different things over the years and cooked all these things, Chinese food is my go-to, especially when I'm all by myself. My greatest fun thing in the world, Meathead, is to go to my favorite Chinese restaurant, which is about 20 miles north of us. And back in the days when we actually had newspapers, real newspapers that had content in them, you know, I would get two newspapers, go sit in the bar. It was a well-lit bar, and have my lunch at the Chinese restaurant and read the newspapers. And that was like heaven to me. Oops, sorry, whacked my mic. But that, and we don't really have newspapers per se anymore that are, I don't know how it is in Chicago with the Trib and stuff, if it's still big, but out here, the Oregonians, like, line your
Oregonian was a classic. No, I wrote for the Trib for 3 years, a column about wine. And it's just a shadow of itself. The Sun Times has actually gotten to be pretty good. If you like Chinese food,
love it.
In my new book, which I'm putting the finishing touches on, has a really great technique for cooking it at home. One of the problems with cooking Chinese food is that it really depends heavily on the use of a wok.
Right.
And there are some features to this bowl that make it an especially good cooking device. Part of it is that the bottom of the bowl is right over the flame and it gets real hot. But if you push the food up the sides, it's not as hot and it cools. So you can control temperature that way. Your indoor oven rarely gets hot enough. And it really needs to be hot, because if you take, say, slices of chicken or beef and put some oil in a wok and throw them in there and try to what's called stir fry them.
Right.
The first thing that happens is the water bursts out, and now you're steaming or broil or boiling the meat, and you're not frying it, and you don't get the same textures and flavors. So to get the right textures and flavors, you need really, really high heat. And you know how you get that? With a charcoal chimney. I do my Chinese cooking outdoors on my Weber kettle. I take my charcoal chimney. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with them, a charcoal chimney looks like a big oversized coffee can. And you put charcoal in it, and you light the charcoal. And that's how you start the charcoal for cooking on a charcoal grill. But it also confines the charcoal into maybe a 6-inch diameter. And if you fill that halfway, it's 5 or 6 layers of charcoal. Mm-hmm. It's hot. The top of that charcoal chimney is well over 1,000 degrees. That is Chinese restaurant temperature. So I'll take my wok. I'll start up the charcoal chimney, get it hot, and put my wok on top of the charcoal chimney. And all this I set on top of the Weber kettle because I want the ashes to be collected. It's just a holder. And I'll do my stir fry outdoors, and I can do some really good stuff. I can even do tofu on this thing. It's really a great way. And I go into great detail in my new book coming out this spring on how to do this.
Don't worry. We'll be talking about your book, maybe not in this show, but in upcoming shows. Okay. Something that you made for Lou and she gave you a thumbs up on it that absolutely knocked her socks off. Lou's Meathead's wife.
She likes a lot of what I cook, but we're both really critical. No shit. She did a really nice dish last night, and it was really excellent. And about a half hour later, it dawned on me, because I was looking at some recipes, she used spaghetti in the dish. It was a chicken stir fry, but it dawned on me that a wider noodle would have been better. And so I told her, and she, you're right, you know. So yeah, we're constantly critiquing each other. And I need this because I develop recipes. I need somebody to say, try this or do that. I think she likes, I think her all-time favorite are my ribs. She loves the pulled pork. She's a big fan of brisket. She loves your classic barbecue cannon. But, you know, I do pastrami that's killer. The recipe is on AmazingRibs.com. I think she generally likes most, but I make a lot of mistakes. I'm always experimenting, and I have probably a 50-50 record, 50% success and 50% failure.
Right.
And so we have a big stack of order out menus sitting in the drawer because if I'm trying something, what's something I just recently tried that failed miserably? I can't think right off the top of my head, but I'm constantly failing. I'm constantly trying something, and we sit down and we look at each other and say, get the Chinese restaurant menu.
Yeah. 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 I know when I'm doing something for Shelley, and I'll be sitting there and I watch her and I go, how is everything? I'm not fishing for a compliment. I want an answer, you know? And she goes, oh, it's good. And then, but when you take the plate away and you see what's left on the plate and all the vegetables and the fruit and the potatoes, they're all gone, but the actual main course is lightly picked over, then I know I either have some work to do or it's just not going to come back in the
deal. I got to tell you, she's the better cook in this house, and I'm not saying that to butter up because she's not listening. She cooks, I would say, 75% or more of the meals, and it's usually improvisation. She'd do great on these, TV shows where you open the box and there's a bunch of weird ingredients in there. She'd do great because she can just open the fridge and grab some leftovers here, some fresh stuff here, walks out to the garden, grabs some vegetables, and then she whoops up a great meal. She's constantly doing that. Last night was a good example. We went to theater the other day, and after theater, we went to a restaurant, and I had half a chicken, and I couldn't finish it. So we brought home the chicken breast that was left over. Last night, she chopped it up, and she mixed up a cream sauce, and there were some peas and some spaghetti and some other stuff, and it was just delicious.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a linguine noodle on that.
Yeah, I wanted a fat noodle. I wanted a stroganoff-type noodle.
Stroganoff-type noodle. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Which actually leads me to my last question. It's kind of a new question in the after hours. What would you change, if anything, about food shows on television? And it can be the barbecue show, it can be the dump and stir shows, whatever.
I'm so old, I go back to when Food Network launched. And when they launched, it was great. It was an educational show. David Rosengarten did a wonderful show where he showed you how to cook a dish. And even Emeril, and I'm not a huge fan of Emeril, he did the same thing. Most of the shows on the Food Network were how to cook food shows. And now they still have a bunch of them during daytime. But during primetime, you've got all these competitions. And there's some interesting ideas. Some of these chefs have some interesting ideas and concepts and combinations. But you really don't get to learn how to cook a recipe from Beat Bobby Flay or from Iron Chef.
No.
I would like to see more instructional cooking. I want Alton Brown. And that, you know, the Alton Brown show is gone now. I mean, you can get it in replays on YouTube, but Alton now is running competitions. I guess that's what works for them. And it's too bad. I know that they had me in to audition for a show and they loved it, but they deep sixed it because I'm old and gray and they wanted somebody young with spiky hair.
Yep. I know that deal. I went through that with Fox. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's and I didn't have big enough boobs. So, you know. Anyway, meet Ed Goldwyn from AmazingRibs.com. Go there. Get your information. Also, if you're up for it, and I recommend it, join the Pitmasters Club there. There's lots of good stuff there. Right. And there's reviews on different products. Everything from grills to oven mitts to thermometers, whatever. And there's a lot of recipes on there, too, that you can use. So, Meathead, thank you, my friend, as always. I appreciate it.
It's always great hanging with you. We have met face-to-face on a rare occasion, and those were fun. We need to do it more often.
We should. By the way, how are the Bears doing this year? It's only preseason, but, you know, how are the Bears?
We're very optimistic. Of course, we are every year.
Yeah.
But the Bears got a new general manager a couple of years ago, and he has proven to be very clever and smart. And he managed to maneuver to get the number one draft pick, which is a kid called Caleb Williams out of Southern Cal. And he's the new quarterback, and he is showing great promise. I mean, in the second preseason game this week, he threw some really impressive passes, running against the grain, throwing on the back foot, 45 yards, hitting the guy in stride. I mean, scrambling for 10-yard touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's also loaded up on a bunch of other positions that were weak with some other players, and there's still weakness. I think they'll be a playoff team. How far they go, I don't know. But there's unparalleled optimism, more than I've ever seen in Chicago. So are you a Seahawks fan?
Not really.
Do you follow a pro team?
Oh, yeah. I follow. I like Kansas City. I do to watch the Bears. You know, I'm kind of a Detroit kind of guy. Just because growing up on Thanksgiving Day, Detroit always played on Thanksgiving, and I think that was the first pro game I ever saw was Detroit playing the Browns or something. So yeah, there's a few of them. I have my own thoughts about the Hawks. It's not that I dislike them. I don't dislike them. It's they could have done better for a number of years, but they didn't. So that's all. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, good luck in Chicago. I will do that. I will come back, won't be this fall, but next fall, and I will come watch a Bears game with you. And we can have a good weekend.
That'd be fun.
But yeah. All right. We got to get out of here. I want to thank Meathead again from AmazingRibs.com. Miss Whippin will be back in a couple of weeks. Until then, go out, have some fun, have a good Labor Day. And remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.